You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
We'll start off by taking a look at tomorrow's action at Ascot. And the feature race of the day, certainly from a quality perspective, is the 225, the JLT hurdle, known to you and I as the Long Walk, of course. And Call Me Lord, the 11-4 favourite for Nicky Henderson. 4-1 for You Know What I Mean, Harry. Agrapart is 13-2. 7-1, Sam Spinner. Paisley Park, 15-2. It's 8-1, Sold Emotion, and 11-1, Bar. Damien, we'll start with you. From a trading perspective, has anything been particularly popular in the betting for this one so far?
Popular. The first horse we laid in the event was Agrapart, the top horse. I think there was anticipation of soft ground. Loves the soft ground. That was a popular one early doors. The surprising feature has been the weakness of the favourite, Call Me Lord. I guess it's a strong renewal. It's possible that people were expecting a weaker race. It was 2-1 earlier in the week, and now there's 11-4 freely available. I think there's some doubts have come whether he's going to stay this trip, and it's going to be a true test tomorrow. So I'd say the strong one was Agrapart, the weak one, Call Me Lord, and an old favourite, You Know What I Mean, Harry, has been popular the last couple of days.
Well, when we're thinking about Call Me Lord here, obviously it's his seasonal debut, and also stepping up in trip against some more experienced staying herders who have proven time and again that they can see this distance out. Do you think that could be a bit of a concern?
Yeah, no, I absolutely think it is. I'd until he goes and proves that he can stay, I'd be very much in the doubting camp. Obviously, he's kind of stuck between two, well, a rock and a hard place, really, in terms of his handicap mark, because he obviously blew away the Grade 2 at Sandown at the back end of last season. Now, he probably beat horses there that had enough for the season, really, and he was maybe slightly flattered by that. He's gone up to 160, which is a sky-high handicap mark. So do you run in handicaps off that? He was entered in the two-mile handicap hurdle the subsequent race tomorrow, and he was also entered in this. So the fact he still was having entries in handicap hurdles at 2 miles, to me, suggests that maybe, you know, the three-mile trip is going to be a doubt, and there's probably just a small bracket of races that he can run in. So for me, I'm looking to take him on.
What would you be looking to take him on with?
Yeah, I think Agrapart is a likely, a very, very likely type, particularly at the prices in a race where we have a decent each-way shape to the race because of the presence of that sort of shortish favourite, I guess, Call Me Lord. He's a real soft-ground three-mile stayer. He proved that last year by winning the Cleve Hurdle. It might be that's his big target again, but why not, you know, if you've got a horse that is fit and well, why not try and win this and then go back for the Cleve Hurdle as well? I think he was due to run in this race last year, actually, but the ground wasn't quite soft enough for him. So they went to the Cleve Hurdle instead, and he went and won that. And he ran a decent reappearance at Aintree behind Holstone and was only half a length or so off You Know What I Mean, Harry, on that occasion as well. So he's the most likely, well, he's probably the most likely bet in the race for me in terms of the most likely winner. Obviously, there's a few that it's a competitive race in... and the nature of it suggests that there'll be three or four turning for home who are well in with a shout, but I think he's a decent bet.
Damien, for yourself, would you be looking to take on the favourite?
I would, yes, similar reasons to Will. I like Sam Spinner. He won the race last year. At the time, people were saying he was, well, nailed on for the World Hurdle. He went off at 9-4 for that event, then went off at 6-5 for a Grade 1 following that. So... To be able to get 7 or 8 to 1 about this, I think, is a bit of value. I think he was ridden in a different way on his return run. Instead of all his form last year was from the front, and he was ridden from behind last time. So I think they might re-employ the front-running tactics tomorrow, and I think we'll see a different performance tomorrow. That'd be one for me. Sam Spinner.
Cheek pieces on for the first time for Sam Spinner as well.
Yeah, I can't see many others that will actually go forward. So it might be that with the cheek pieces on, spark him up a bit and not much takes him on, he might re-find his mojo again.
Okay, well, that is the Grade 1 JLT long walk hurdle than Ascot's tomorrow. We'll move on now to take a look at the Silver Cup Handicap Chase and Ascot listed race over 3 miles. Second of the three races we'll be looking at from Ascot. Gold Present, currently the 9-2 favourite with us here at William Hill. 11-2 for Full Glass. Thomas Patrick is 6-1. 13-2 Jammin' Masters. Otago Trail is 7-1. 15-2 Benatar. And it's 11-1 and bigger for the rest. So, Gold Present, another Nicky Henderson favourite here. Well, he was third on his seasonal return at Ascot last time out behind Politolog, and in previous course and distance winner running second time after a Windup.
Yeah, absolutely. Won this race last year when beating into second Frodon. So clearly that form has worked out okay. The ground, though, as I mentioned, in respect to Agripart, the ground on that occasion was good to soft. You know, a lot better than it will probably be tomorrow. It was soft, heavy in places today and looked testing enough. So for me, Gold Present has always been kept away from softer ground. So it probably a reason again to try and take on what is a short enough favourite, really.
Just before we find out your selection, Will, Damien, from a trading perspective, what's this race looking like?
We had a bit of a knockover earlier in the week for Full Glass. Alan King's is mentioned on several occasions that the horse wants plenty of give. I think people have taken him on his word there, and anticipating soft ground, that was backed from 9-1 into 11-2. They were taking all the prices earlier in the week. That's been the one they've been interested in.
Okay, Will, would it be Full Glass that you'd be siding with?
I respect his claims, but he's on the evidence of his Haydock run last time out. He was running a very good race in what was a graduation chase there. And that was behind Activial. I think it's a race that will probably work out okay, but he was just, I mean, that was the day when the Haydock fences were massive, weren't they, at the Betfair Chase Day.
And when Nicky Henderson came out to have a proper examination.
He did, yeah. He was nudging up against it with his shoulder and all sorts, wasn't he, which... Yeah, so I just wonder, with in terms of his jumping, obviously he might find it a bit easier, but whether that's just going to leave something of a bit of a sour taste in the mouth, maybe. I mean, I might be looking too much into it, but there are two I like at maybe each way prices here. One actually ran behind Gold Present last time out at Ascot. That's Benatar, who I think has long been thought of as a much better horse than a sort of mid-140s rated horse. He's 149 now.
You're in the Luke Elder school of thought with this one, yeah. Always trying to get on side with Benatar.
Yeah, I just think he's got a huge engine. He hasn't been able to settle. I mean, he ran a cracker of a race in the JLT last year behind Shattered Love. Soft ground is important to him. I think he will get 3 miles. He just needs to settle. Now, he settled better last time behind Politolog and Gold Present. I wonder if now that they've got him to settle, they will hope that theme continues and they ride him a bit more prominently than is sometimes the case tomorrow. I think he definitely has a race in him off that mark. And so too does a horse called Jammin' Masters for Warren Greatrex, who isn't the usual profile of horse for this type of race. He's only had one chase start for Warren Greatrex. He has had a couple of point starts and a couple of hunter chase starts when with Ted Walsh over in Ireland. So he's fairly experienced chase-wise, and Warren's not spent long with him to get him back over fences. And he ran a really eye-catching race at Carlisle behind Count Maribel in a novice handicap chase there that is working out well. It seems a quite a large step up in class, but the time of that race at Carlisle was good, and I think it's a tip in itself that Warren Greatrex wants to send him here for a bigger pot.
Okay, Damien, would you have any selections of the race for yourself?
I agree with Will. Jammin' Masters was the one that I picked in that race. Just reiterating everything Will said there, the £3 rise for his last run might underestimate him, seeing as the winner went in again. I think he'll love the soft ground, so Jammin' Masters.
Jammin' Masters then for Warren Greatrex and Gavin Sheehan. We'll now take a look at the final race on the Ascot card, and this is that Grade 3 handicap hurdle, which has changed names, it seems like, every year or two over the past few years. But anyway, this year we do have a former winner, or a former dead heater, if you like, as the favourite. Jolly's Cracked at 6-1 for Harry Fry and Noel Feely. 10-1 Fiddux. Western Rider also 10-1. 11-1 for Fiercel and Lisp. Mr. Antolini is in 12-1. Nietzsche 12-1. 14-1 bar. And as we would expect, Damien, this looks a typically competitive renewal.
Yes, we've been betting on this race for some time. The first horse that came for was the favourite, Jolly's Cracked It. Available 12-1. Anti-Post, that's the worst result for us. Interesting one they've been backing this week is Fiercel. In from 14s to 10, so that's another bad result for us from our perspective. We laid some big bets. Ollie Murphy, a tremendous trainer. He's picked up the horse from Ireland. A few people have noticed that. He's £21 higher than his last win, which makes it very difficult because he's not an inexperienced horse. He's had plenty of runs. But those two are our worst results, Jolly's Cracked It and Faisal.
Okay, Will, good luck with this one.
Yeah, it's a fiendish puzzle, isn't
it? Yeah.
Fiendish. I wonder if, having extolled the virtues of Warren Greatrex's chance in the previous race, whether he's rueing the fact that he ran Western Rider in the the International Hurdle, was it called? That's another race that's changed names.
Yeah.
The Bula.
The Bula, yeah. he ran him 7 days ago, and I wonder if that's just left a mark, because he's potentially, I mean, he's gone up £5 for that, but I think he was well handicapped anyway, so he keeps his mark of 145 for this particular race. And I just wonder whether that race will have left a mark. If he came here off 145 fresh from his reappearance run of the season, I'd have been very, very keen on Western Rider. He might still go very, very well. It looked like he was saving a little bit for himself at stages in that Cheltenham race. So I think he can go well off that kind of mark. Of the rest, I mean, there's chances everywhere you look. I think Fiddux is very interesting. He seems to have turned inside out this year for Alan King. Seems to have done his improving on better ground, though he did handle soft ground okay as a slightly younger horse, so he might be fine on it. And I can't overlook Nietzsche as well for Brian Ellison and Danny McMenamin. He won in such ready fashion, really, from Silver Streak in the Greatwood, that a rise of £6 I think is probably fairly lenient on that particular evidence. So I think he has it in him to go very, very well again. He's still very well handicapped on the best bits of his ability as a juvenile, and particularly as a flat horse as well. So a couple against the field there. I'm not sure I could nail it down to just one, but probably Fiddux, Nietzsche and Western Rider, three against the field, really. I wouldn't suggest backing all three because, well, it depends what price you can get, obviously.
Damien, what about you?
I'll throw in another couple. It's a tremendous race. We've got Not Never, Gary Moore. He's won three from four handicaps in the last 18 months or so. It's a massive rise in class, in weight, but he looks one to follow, and he's rated 95 on the flat, so still potentially some scope from his hurdles mark of 128. And his record after a 100-day break is first, second and first. So I like that one. Chate, right at the bottom. I like that one as well. Another one with good flat form, so he's very well treated on his flat rating of 99. And he's particularly interesting because he was second to Jolly's Cracked It over course and distance last time out. And he's much better off at the weights. We'll love the soft ground. So if you can get 14, 16 to one about those two, I think they're worth an interest. Not Never and Chate.
Okay, that's a 3:35 at Ascot. Then one more race to briefly discuss from tomorrow, Saturday, and that's the 2:40 at Haydock, the Tommy Whittle handicap chase. Slightly puzzling for me to have this in the Silver Cup race at Ascot, 20 minutes apart on the same day. I know one's a listed race and one's a class two, but still similar kinds of races. And I don't think we've got betting for this one right now, do we, Damien? Has that market gone up yet?
I think so. I've got some prices in front of me.
There we go then. You might have an exclusive.
Yeah. Unless something come out of the race and the prices have disappeared, but I think they're up there.
Let's have a look, shall we? There we go. This is the virtues of being ready to go straight off the bat. Yep, I've got some prices here. I'd just like to explain what happened there. They're not showing up on the Racing Post website, but I probably shouldn't have taken that as an absolute given. I haven't learnt my lesson. Kimberlite Candy at 4-1 is a favourite here. 5-1 Jewel That Dawn. Sharp Response 13-2. 8-1 Testify. Rocklander is a 9-1 with Klondike also 9-1. It's double figure prices for the rest. So this is the one race from Haydock we're going to be taking a look at. And the current favourites, Damien, carrying the colours of J.P. McManus.
Kimberlite Candy.
Yeah.
Tom Lacey, one of my favourite trainers, is justifiably favourite. There hasn't been too much interest in this. It's tended to be lost amongst all the other races over this period. Testify would be the one we've been laying 10s into 8s. I think that's all about the ground because the horse hasn't shown very much at all for a long time.
Okay, Will?
Yeah, it's a tricky race, really. I've said that about a few today so far, but Kimberlite Candy is... He's not often your obvious favourite of this type of race. You don't have him down as a you know, real striking improver. And then you go back through his form, and actually he's only a six-year-old, and he's won his last two. So that sort of first notion in my head is probably wide of the mark, really, in terms of him. So he has his chance. Sharp Response is a horse of Sue Smith's that I've always liked and always thought would make up into a pretty nice chaser and might even get further than this. He was tried over 3.5 at Cheltenham 2 runs ago, perhaps didn't quite get home. Perhaps the ground wasn't quite in his favour. He then ran much, much better last time in the rehearsal chase at Newcastle behind Sharp Response. I think, behind Lakeview Lad. So I think Sharp Response has his chance too. And at bigger odds, it's a bit of a hit and miss bet, really. And you'll either be pulled up before they go out on the second circuit or he'll run away and win it by 10 lengths. But Splash of Ginge absolutely loves soft ground. He was pulled out of the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup at Cheltenham. It was the Caspian Caviar, and he was pulled up in the Bet Victor the month before on account of the ground. Now, if you go back through his form, all his form is on a real testing surface.
And won this race 2 years ago.
And exactly, yeah, and has won at Haydock previously as well. So Splash of Ginge for me at a big price is probably in a race that's pretty open. If he gets into a rhythm, Jordan Naylor takes £7 off. That would be my tentative each way selection.
Splash of Ginge then for Will. What about you, Damien?
I'm going to go for Clan Legend. A couple of wins on heavy ground at this time last season. Not seen since February, but I think that's to his advantage because he's got an outstanding record fresh. He's won first time out for the last 3 seasons. So on heavy ground at a double figure price, I like Clan Legend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.